Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos, chapter 7. Now this is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amasa, the prophet of Bethel, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amasa said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. But Amos answered and said to Amasa, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, go and prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from First Ephesians, first chapter, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Now when King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known, some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And the others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went, beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let's have a coming to Jesus moment here. It's taken a better part of the week to think of an intro for today's sermon, because I didn't want to talk about ghosts or demons. I didn't want to talk about the spooky season that will soon be coming to stores across America. I was trying not to get caught on the word haunted, as you can see in our static slide here. But it was difficult to find something else, until I turned to cinema for the answer. Well, okay, for an example. As we are well aware, I am a big fan of Lord of the Rings. I love the books, the movies, the unending examples to pull from. I know I have a problem. We'll deal with that later. But these books are amazing, because you get to see here in the first book, The Fellowship of the Ring, you get to see the wonderful dynamic between the characters of Gandalf and Merry and Pippin, two little hobbits. Now these hobbits, much like middle schoolers or high school boys, are always getting into trouble, always getting into mischief, and often getting caught red-handed by Gandalf. You know, such as when they decide to fire a firework inside a tent without permission. Or the other time, when they're making their way through the mines of Moria, and one of their actions causes the death of one of their company. See, the mines of Moria in Lord of the Rings is this place that was once a thriving kingdom, but later on it became desolate, attacked again and again by denizens of the dark. It essentially became a tomb. And they thought this would be safe. No one would be there, and they'd be able to cut through the mountains without having to travel around for months on end. But it wasn't safe. So here we come to a scene. Pippin, the little hobbit, curious in nature, walks over to a long-dead warrior and touches an arrow in the chest. And this warrior falls down a hole with a chain attached to a bucket, which then alerts those who decide to call this place their home. So why go out and retell this scene? It's not to buy time, but it's a chance to talk about how this one scene, this one action, leads to the death of Boromir just a few scenes later. See, in the movie, there's no mention about this action of Pippin. There's no going back to Pippin and talking about the guilt that he has for causing the death just by being curious. There's no talk about the stupidity that costs one of the members of his party their life. Yet, as we come to our gospel reading, you and I are given a glimpse into how the stupidity of one action leads to the death of the prophet of the Lord. And here we have an opportunity to see how Herod is plagued by the very oath that he had no power to make, no authority to give. And yet this oath becomes the cause of the very thing that he is now troubled by. See, we really don't spend a whole lot of time talking about Herod, at least in the grand scheme of the Gospels. Sure, there's Herod the Great, who sought the death of the newborn king, ensuring his claim to the throne. And we talk about Herod, the same Herod, who willfully committed murder of young males up to the age of 2 to ensure his throne was unchallenged. But here we come to Herod Antipas, who is rather small, insignificant, a minor character mentioned in the background of the Gospels, taking place throughout Jesus' ministry. But here we look at a character who is haunted by his own actions. As we well know, Herod wanted to live a life of luxury, show off the imaginary amount of power that Rome allowed for him to have. Which is why, after watching the pleasing dance of Herodias' daughter, he was so caught up in the moment that he willed away the power to ensure the safety of John the Baptist. And this is what Mark says. "Ask for me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom." That line, that one line, was all that was needed to become the biggest regret of Herod. For this meant that Herod was now bound to his oath, made in front of his high-ranking officials, who expected him to keep his word. But how does he respond when Herodias' daughter came back from her mom and asked for the head of John the Baptist? Does he do so with glee? With great bravado? No. As Mark notes, "And the king was exceedingly sorry because his oath and his guest, and he did not want to break his word to her." It's sorrow. See, Herod, who arrested John for his own safety, who listened to him, even though it left him confused and perplexed, had just signed the death warrant of a man whom many called holy and a prophet. And no wonder why, when he started to hear of Jesus and his miraculous power, believed that John had been raised from the dead, even saying out loud, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." It's amazing how one action changes everything. See, what's interesting is that when we hear Herod say, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. This is not a confession of repentance, looking towards repentance on his part. It's not a confession to any deity. It's not a confession of anything. It's a confession of just the guilt that is found in him. Herod is so filled with fear and guilt over the death of John that he confesses his own sin. And finally acknowledging the foul deed they allowed to be carried out for fear of looking bad in front of his guest. Now, there's never been an indication, an account, or any tradition that states that Herod turned from his ways, that he left behind the Canaanite gods and followed after Christ. There is nothing like that for him. So here we look at a man burdened by the weight of the guilt that he buries, that he carries with him. And you find him sitting there with no way out. And this is the harsh but very true reality of sin. See, without Christ, sin doesn't just go away. It's not something that you just will wash off in the wash machine. It doesn't matter how many times you try to scrub your hands. We can't remove it ourselves. Thus, when this happens, we become burdened by the weight of it. It's not that one sin is heavier than the other based on the severity of that sin. That's ridiculous. Sin weighs us down in body and soul and mind. See, sin has this unique ability to creep its way into our minds and fester like a wound. A wound that reminds us of just how stupid we are. It reminds us of all our dumb actions, our failures, our faults. See, sin does this great job at convincing us that we are cut off from any kind of hope, from any kind of way out of this mess. So like Herod, we become bogged down by the constant reminder of just how one action can haunt us for the rest of our days. But yet, if we go back to our text, you know, try to find some hope, something that Herod found peace in the end, but there's not. See, there's no mention of him seeking out Christ. There's no mention of him seeking forgiveness, finding a peace of mind. There's only the constant reminder that in a moment of great ecstasy found in the celebration of his guest, he'll be forever haunted by one stupid mistake. It seems like there's no hope for Herod. Not even a sliver of hope for you and me today from this text. So where do we go from here? Do we call Ghostbusters and ask them to take away the sin that haunts us? Or do we ever cling closer to Christ and his miraculous power? I hope it's the latter. See, at the beginning of our reading, we hear this mention of Jesus in the background as he is becoming more well-known throughout this region. And yet, at the mention of Jesus and his miracles, Herod is immediately caught up in his own prison of fear and guilt. But if you look at what Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians in our reading of our epistle to this morning, we hear the most amazing thing. Paul, who reminds the sons of Christ, those who follow Christ and his word, he says to them belong in him. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Yes, those who believe in Christ are given exactly what they need. They don't have to go looking anywhere else. Only in Christ will they find exactly what it is that they need in this life. Exactly what is not offered in this world. See, even though Paul is writing about this to the Ephesians, this was already being taught here and shared throughout the countryside of Judea, Samaria, even reaching the people in Jerusalem by this point as well. And for many, when they heard about Christ, when they heard about his work, heard that he was coming, immediately their spirits would be lifted. Joy would fill their hearts as they finally have someone who can take away their sin, someone who can heal them in both mind, body, and soul. Someone who can forgive sins just as much as he tells a lame man to take up his bed and walk. Already things have begun to change in the region around Herod. But it's a shame. It's a shame that at the reports of these miracles of hope, of kindness, compassion, of peace, Herod can only think of guilt and shame. Because of the very thing that festers within him. Now, we too can be a lot like Herod. We can become so fixated on our past mistakes, our faults, our misgivings, to the point that even when we hear about Christ and his miraculous work, we become filled with a constant reminder that there is no way out, that there is no hope for someone like us. But why? Why allow this to happen in the first place? See, it's one thing for the pagan, those who do not know Christ, those who do not know of his work and person, who have no clue about his mercy and grace found in his death and resurrection, who don't know about the freedom from the that is found only in him. But for you and for me, brothers and sisters in Christ, and the mention of his name, we should shout with joy. Our hearts should fill with glee, not cowering in fear and shame. For you and I know Christ. We know his love, his work. We know the freedom that we now live in because of him. We should cling to what Paul says to the Ephesians. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We should cling to that. But I get it. I understand. It's hard to escape the reminders of our faults and failures that seem to cling to us no matter what. Yet that should not drown out the sweet words of our Lord and Savior, who is our salvation, who is the one that can drive away the very things that haunt us. See, we are creatures between a rock and a hard place. We are constantly being bombarded from the evil that is found in this world, that works to sever any tie, any connection to the hope and peace that we have in Christ. And yes, sin will do whatever it can to work its way into our minds and our hearts and fester like a wound. With the mention of Jesus' name, we should shout with joy and with glee, for we have found peace in him. For he is the very thing that drives away the sin that haunts us. He is the one who brings us peace and comfort in this life and the next. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.